February 8, 2021, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Happy Monday. Second Monday of the month. Feb. We'll start off with Greensleeves. John Coltrane, 1961 at the Villa Vanguard. I think Richard Workman was on the bass. Mr. Elvin Jones on the drums. You can hear some noise. People, I think that's my guest over in Philly Town. Huh? Where John Coltrane bought his first house with the GI Bill money over on 33rd Street by the zoo. That's Brother Chuck Treese. And in fact, after Greensleeves, we heard Our Town by Bing Crosby, but not the one you know, people. This one's with a K. And it's Brother Chuck's latest proj. And incredible music, man. I've had the privilege to get to jam with him and for the Ray Barbie over in Long Beach, Strong Beach. And in fact, we did a gig in Pedro at an iPad. And it got filmed and put on TV. But welcome aboard, Brother Chuck Treese.
Hey, how are you?
Man, I am so glad to be talking with you. A little bit of struggle. But, man, good things come with a little bit of struggle, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I want to go through your musical history, Brother Chuck. Okay. What is your earliest musical memory?
Jamming with my father's band at, probably age six, and then playing my first show with him at age eight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what'd your pop do? What'd he play?
He's a tenor sax player. And
tenor man.
Like but John he can play Coach? Bass, drums, and guitar, and all that stuff like that.
So. Like you can play. I mean.
Yeah, I'm copping his thing. Yeah.
I gotta tell you, people, he's a stick man with a beat in his hand, but he's also, like, all aboard on everything. Right? You could do the one-man band thing. It's bitching. And, of course, I think it's key, being a drummer man, because it's rhythm, right? So if you can do that, if you can rock that, you can get on the other machines.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So you're a young man. And are these gigs or just jamming at the pad?
Well, first it was like jamming with them while because they were rehearsing in my living room where we lived. And then my dad had one show. We did it at a place. It's in Chester, Pennsylvania, called Boots and Bonnets. It's actually still there. And that was the first time I actually stepped on stage with a band and played in their set. You know what I mean? Just it's heavy.
How old?
I was eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's breaking them in young. Yeah, it's bitching. That is so fucking bitching. So obviously at the pad there was instruments. How did you get on that drum set?
Just starting at home, just kind of beating on pots and pans, and it went from pots and pans to me getting my own personal little kit.
You know, there's on YouTube.com, there's a documentary on Elvin Jones. It's only a half hour. It's called Different Drummer. And he talked about starting on fucking pots and pans.
That's what it is.
And then his sister helped him with the bike route money to go get a drum set. So how'd you get your drum set?
My dad purchased it. It was like a small Rogers, like the first one, or a Ludwig. It was like, you know what I mean? Just kind of just like something that I could beat around and get.
Yeah, but I know a lot of cats who started on Rogers.
Yeah, great drums.
Yeah, and maybe not a lot of coin.
No, not back then.
Yeah.
Now it's a different time.
Now it's different. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you sidestepped all that shit with the paper heads and the toy shit. It is a real drum set.
Yeah. We had the real music around, and then, you know, it would go up and down as far as quality here and there. But, yeah, I was lucky enough to have, like, solid stuff that my dad's friends owned, and they let us jam out and have a good time.
Yeah. Now, it was probably stand-up dude on the bass, right?
No. It was like, it was a straight, like, R&B. Like,
so you got a Fender bass. You got a bass guitar.
Yeah, he had the full-on blown, like, custom amps like that.
Oh, padded.
Yeah, gear, everything. Because he had the van and all the gear at the house also.
Oh, the bass man. Bass man was the key man. He was the boat man.
B3 organ. Yeah, that's why I tripped when I saw that what you were doing with the B3 organ. That it reminded me of my dad's band because they always had a guy that played B3 and then, you know, some other stuff. That was always kind of the foundation of everything that they were doing.
Oh, bitching.
Yeah. So they would do from Chicago all the way down to Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, they went, like, pretty heavy.
Sure. I mean, there's nothing like. And did this organ man use foot pedals?
Yeah, they had the whole thing. Leslie used to be set up in the house. Yeah,
Jimmy Smith. All right. Yeah, it's set up in the house because moving those things. Yeah. Was it chopped or was it the full-on thing?
It was a full on thing because I don't know if they had too many chop things. I just remember having that Leslie and just being tripped out on the sound of it when it got going.
No, but you saw my second man, right? And Pizzo, he chopped his because fucking put steel legs, foldable legs, because those, it's still 240 fucking pounds.
Yeah, that thing's huge. And it sounded great. You guys sounded amazing. Just having that, the dynamic of having the B3 with what you guys were doing, I was just tripping. I was just like, whoa, this is heavy.
Okay, yeah. Okay. This is interesting. So, you don't really have a, did you have a drum teacher?
Those are just a couple of basic guys that like that were in my dad's band that just would give me more concepts. And the one guy that stuck with me the most was a drummer that, like, he was just a different dude. He had, like, a little bit of a speech impediment, but he was really, like, a well-thought-out person. And he told me to paint a picture when I played music. And so I immediately, like, in my mind, when he said that, I saw two guys carrying, like, an empty, like, a paint, you know what I mean? Just like a just kind of the casing around it, you know what I mean? Just... And with nothing inside of it. And I was like, oh, that kind of makes more sense to me if I can see it and play it. You know what I mean?
No, it makes big sense to me because in that documentary I told you about, Elvin's talking about how when he's playing the drums, he's painting. Yeah. And like the snare drum is red and the cymbals are yellow and the toms are green and shit like this. I mean, in his mind, right, with the music.
Elvin's so heavy. I saw him play live out in L.A. once, and I was almost in tears, man. He played, like, 90% of the show with brushes, and the last song he played with sticks. It was just, it blew my mind. Like, it was just...
I got to see him. Pettibone took me, like, 12, 13 times, because he was living in Nagasaki, so the first gigs would be... If you saw him in L.A., it might have been one we were at. Catalina?
Right.
Up on Cahuenga, up in Hollywood?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Fuck, man, if you were lucky... He put his eyes on you. It was your gig. He'd be looking at you the whole fucking gig. Billy Higgins did that to me, too, man. Oh, man, I get my command performance here, these guys. It was heavy. It was really inspiring and stuff. So what about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
When I got into junior high, I was in the jazz band when my dad moved me from the city into the burbs. And so I did that through like ninth grade. And then once I got into high school, I started playing in another cover band with some guys that were just kind of just around the neighborhood. So it was just kind of one little stint for a while, but.
Ask you that because a lot of schools got rid of their music programs. I was going to ask you about what about after school, like the garage band, the basement band,
We had one of those a kid band that we goofed around with, and I had like an early punk band called Jerry's Kids with a bunch of guys from Delaware. It's not the Jerry's Kids from Boston. It was
get this. There's a Jerry. There's a Jerry's Kid in Albuquerque too.
That's wild, man. Easy name to pick for a punk band.
Yeah. You got it, man. So what were you guys writing your own material, or were you doing covers?
No, we were just doing like Clash covers and Sex Pistols covers and stuff like that. Writing our own stuff didn't happen until McRad, you know. So that was like when I was in 11th grade, which was like late 79, 80, and then 81, 82 is when I graduated, and basically late 82, 83 is when I started to discover songwriting, you know, through a friend of mine who showed me a punk rock song. And then when I got into McRad, then we just literally started learning how to write.
Okay, you got into McRad, because I thought McRad was your band.
Yeah, it was. It was something that we all put together.
Oh, okay. It was a group effort.
Yeah. It was like a thing where I skated with the bass player, this dude Zeke Zagar.
Yeah.
And we skated at Cherry Hill Skate Park together as kids. And so once I graduated high school in 82 in Delaware, I moved to Philly just to collaborate with him on just some skateboarding events. And he was playing in a band called FOD, and he decided he wanted to make a change. And so we started McRad because there was really no skate band, you know, like JFA was, you know.
Yeah. Brian.
They were a band. And so as skaters, JFA really influenced us through the Thrasher magazine thing. So that's.
Well, Brian, the singer man was, I think, the editor.
Mm-hmm.
He had me write a column once, how I try to play my bass like it was a skateboard.
Yeah, right.
Because Watts got fucked up knees, he could never do it. What about this name McRad? I love that name. Where did it come from?
The name McRad came from the bass player from Husker Du.
Greg Norton?
Yeah. Like, there was the first time they played in Philly, And it was probably like a couple of months after we saw, because the Minutemen.
Yeah, because we did a gig with them at Hope Hall. Hope, something like that, with White Cross. Mm-hmm. And Husker Du.
And I saw you guys. I saw Minutemen and Love Hall.
That's it.
Yeah, and then Husker Du played, like, I think about 4 months later at Jeff Jenkins' house. He was a local DJ on KDU.
Okay.
And he had a house in West Philly, and that's where Husker Du played. And we were all talking upstairs, myself, Zeke, and Tristan and Ethan, and we were just talking about band names. And Greg was like, why don't you call it McTear, McShred, McRad? And he was him with a mustache, and I just remember his face.
Sporting Greg Norton. Maybe he was thinking of like fucking pucks, you know, like McCrap Donalds.
it's on him. And I mean, he had friends that skated too.
Of course.
So. It was cool that he was like, because we were just these kids that loved Husker Du. I mean,
but you know what they also were into? Because you know me and D Boom put out their first album, Land Speed Record.
No way.
Yeah, I wouldn't fuck lie to you. That was me and D Boom who put out on New Alliance Records, Land Speed Record. But you know what they were big into? Hockey. Especially Bob.
That's wild.
And then Bob got into wrestling, but I don't think he wrestled himself. He just like be a gig goer, right?
Yeah.
I want to play Work It Out, Bing Crosby. We gotta work it out. Every time I see your face walk around, never rich, no doubt I gotta get it out. Don't disrespect me, say you're so beautiful and I want you. See you break your friends. Different city, different state. Sometimes hang around, gotta treat us to the point that I don't wanna come back again. Don't disrespect no way.
roller coaster on the fine stuff. Don't look now, wait to drop. Hell abuse, apparent, absurd, past this bad, a four-letter word.
Multiple realities, not.
What if, three, four, they actually do fade, or...
Not right.
It's a matter of texture. Fooling her. The other way round. Not. There is a local field potential. So I hush. Don't recognize so slow. It becomes the same thing.
Great, you still send you out under the same sun. When you stop running, on your feet, right? No, I'm come after you. Time to lose your attitude. Release and boost your altitude. You do, you got jack to lose. I see you trying to rise. You'll pry your life's off course. Stay wise with spending time. And soon you'll know when it's over.
Pedro Show. Yeah, we heard Work It Out from Bing Crosby at the head of the chunk of music. Then the Hellbeens, brand new. Past is but a four-letter word. South London. Dumb Numbers after that. Scars. Yeah, what's Joyful Music lost their one of their main cats, Jonathan, to cancer. Very sad. And so that's in his honor. Scars. Dale Crover. His new solo record, Tougher. See, drummers can fucking make their own record. Chico Hamilton. I made him Georgie into this fucking Chico Hamilton record from the 60s. It was bitching. And like, yeah, Chico Hamilton couldn't get songwriting credit. Drummers can't write songs. Fuck that. That's what I say. Brand new from Iokoi. Iokoi, people. Maybe it's Iokoi. I don't know. Effective Tension, but it's brand new and it's bitching. Manuel Maresca and Manuel for Errors. He's in Berlin these days. With Seta from his new albums. Bomas Prendon. E. Manon. Time Can Be Delayed from Model Home. That's a beautiful fucking band. Both those guys out of D.C. area. Hans Rotten from Switzerland with Distant Melody. Ben Addy, brand new out of, what do you call that? York area of England. Moving. And finally, Bing Crosby with Bing Number 5. I guess upcoming album. Anyway. Okay, so tell me about Bing Crosby. This is where you start touring and stuff, right?
Bing Crosby basically has just been started within, like, I guess it's been about a year and a half, going on 2 years, and it was a project that started with my youngest son, Kieran, and also a studio where we're at now located. The studio owner is Rick Frederick. Rick is the engineer and the studio owner, and Kieran and I were coming here the past year since, like, about like right after COVID hit. We just started coming in here and just recording whatever, like, we could improvise, and some of the stuff I would put vocals on, or most of it I would leave instrumental, then I would come in and just retrack other sounds over it to deal with it. But that's basically what the record is, other than, you know, Rachel collabing on the one song, and okay. Then Rich, you know, Rick is the person who's mixing it and getting all the tones.
Well,
and
thank
all that.
You big time to brother Rick, but that's kind of up to date. I want to still be back in the old days with Mick Rad, huh?
Yeah, Mick Rad is
the band where you first started touring, right?
Yeah, McRav was, we did spot shows. I mean, we did, like, the Philly, Connecticut, D.C., and then after 85, when I kind of revamped the band, then that's when we started kind of going to California and bouncing around. You know, Skate Master Tate was helping us a lot in California, you know, and also Pleasant from the Screaming Sirens.
Pleasant Gaiman. When I first met her, she was Pat Smear's girlfriend.
Yeah. No.
She goes way back. Yeah, Pleasant. And she had that band, Screaming Sirens. Also Ringling Sisters, I think.
Yeah.
Right? So she actually helped get you guys gigs.
Yeah. She put us in she did a movie called The Running Kind, and she actually had me featured in that, just skating, and then she just got us some shows, and she was also connected with Brian Ware from, you know, Beware Records. And so we were all just kind of this family, this, like, new kind of skate rock family with, you know, with Taters and Screaming Sirens and all the other bands that were coming around at that point, you know. It was a cool time for me to know people out in L.A.
At this time is when you connect with Ray Barbie?
Ray Barbie is pretty much, we knew each other through skating, but musically I started getting around Ray, watching him and Lance play probably around, like, say, like 89. And then when Ray and Tommy had Blacktop together for...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Tommy Guerrero.
Yeah, Project. Like, Blacktop Project was been about, like, 10 years ago when it first started, but it started as a skate trip with Tommy, Ray, and Matt Rodriguez, and they would show up to a spot and then create a song and record it on a 4-track, and then they had me coming over, dub drums. And then from that recording and that first release, they decided to put the band together. So we decided to make it more like all of us jamming together live in the studio, and also all instrumental music too.
Now, I know they're both California, but about 400 miles apart, right? Tommy's up in the city. Ray's in Strong Beach.
A lot of planning, and Tommy and I have been playing music together since he's been like 15 when he was in Free Beer. And, you know, I saw the last Free Beer show up in SF when I was just trying to figure out whether I wanted to stay back east or move out west. So, you know, basically the summer of 84, I moved out here for about out west in the Bay Area for 6 months. And, you know, that's basically where that whole thing started for Tommy and I musically. And so we just kept music around us. You know, we were just more the punk scene. But once Tommy started digging up records and getting into different things and sampling, we just totally changed the whole environment and just went for it. And he just led the way. And we just, you know, and Ray too, you know, I watched those guys build their whole catalog up just by what they love and what inspires them. And that's always creative. And that's Ray introducing me and you and together again after I hadn't seen you in years. And we're in Pedro playing in your Mecca, which, you know, that blew me away.
That was Ray's idea. He says it's got to be in Pedro.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
That was a trip. But I'll tell you about Tommy, man. I dig his bass.
I know
Tommy. He plays everything, but I dig his bass.
Yeah, Tommy's bad, man. Yeah. You too.
And Ray, I dig Ray on the Telecaster.
Yeah, he's wicked.
He was on the show a couple years ago because he came out with this solo record. Really interesting. He came over to my pad, yeah. So, Mick Rad. Actually, I got to play with you as a stooge. We were at some dude's wedding in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Bam Margera.
That's it. That's his name. One of the guys from that show. And you were in the little corner there with your band. What was that band?
Well, that basically was this band, Amwa, was a reggae band from Westchester. And it was just friends of Bam's that, you know, we were all just kind of people that we've gone to shows and skated with. And so he just wanted to have, like, you guys on the main stage and us kind of, like, being the music in between, you know, just kind of keeping the wedding vibes, you know, just having the regular band and then the bigger band, you know what I mean? And so it was cool. It was a fun situation to just, you know, see you play with, you know.
Well, all that, kind of a mind blow, too, Chuck. The idea of the Stooges as a wedding band.
I mean, that was kind of wild. You got something great. It was rifling, man. That was... Because when I got on stage, your amp was cranked. That SAT.
I know. Two of them. Like, there was two of them.
Yeah, no, you're like... amp was
turned
like,
up all the fucking way.
You were beating them amps. You were beating them up. It was great.
It was kind of like the ballroom of some town. Fancy pad.
Yeah, you guys were killing it. I've never seen a corporate gig be that full of fun. You know, because what was going on around the stage and all my friends' trip. Because I was hearing all the conversation, people that just like honestly love you and the Stooges, and just seeing both of these mentor hero type people together. And friends of mine were just bugging. They were like, I can't believe this is happening right now. Yeah,
and it was downtown, and there's a great market that was near that tail.
The Reading Market is insane. Yeah. Reading Market's great. Yeah.
Good
show
there, man.
Yeah, really good.
Chuck, we're at the end of the first hour, February 8, 2021, Dish White Pedro Show, special guest Chuck Treese. Hold tight for hour two. February 8, 2021, it's the second hour of the Lot for Pedro Show.
everything you need. Then shut it down. Then we turn aside. And we pick a side. We can divide. But it only divides us. Everything you want. Then shut it down. Everything you love. Then shut it down. If we can unite. You want them shutting it down. Everything you need, shutting it down. Everything you love, shutting it down. Every single one, shut it down.
Show start off the second hour with Tommy Guerrero, Heading West. Then Sam Locke Ward, Quiet Man Live from Iowa City with Ashes, Freak Out number 2. Jan Bart Leu, God, sorry for fucking up the Dutch language. Number 2, it's probably Jam number 2 out of Groningen there, Netherlands. They're having a big snowstorm right here. Veda Hill, Vancouver, Nighttime Watcher. Her and her buddies, they made a gig where they all the words were improvised from Craigslist ads. That's a fucking trip for a libretto. And then Fabian Achilles, Shut It Down. What's that about, Brother Chuck?
Fabian is a singer-songwriter out of the Philadelphia area. Him and the guy who owns the studio that where we did the Bing record, Rick Frederick, have been playing music since they went to school at Temple, which is mainly reggae rockers type stuff, blues type stuff. And so we've been just doing, songwriting sessions in the studio for the past 2 years, and that song just came about. And I think lyrically where Fabian's coming from is more or less him watching the whole kind of market just change within the value of what's going on with life right now, you know what I mean? So he's always been a writer that's kind of written about things going on in the world. It's just that most of the stuff that we were hinting at a couple of years ago is now starting to come to light, so it's kind of wild seeing this stuff kind of get together through music.
Sure, sure. And the situation shut down for sure. Anyway, yeah. And with Tommy, was this before Blacktop?
Tommy's stuff was probably right during the beginning of when Blacktop was being started, because Tommy and Ray were always kind of doing their own records, for a while.
Sure, Free Beer.
I first went to Japan with Tommy solo, and then I went back over there with Ray, so they were always kind of like back and forth. Blacktop was just, let's just do a record so everybody can tour together, and then we can play everybody's music. So it was like a big kind of grand old opery,
I like that idea. Look, you gave me a couple songs with HR. How'd that happen?
HR's connection was just through me and him knowing each other since I've been around 19. He gave me my first show in D.C. opening up for his band, HR and Company. And we've just kept in touch through the years. And 2012, we started collaborating on some music in D.C. with a guy named Mal Clemens. So I think one of those songs is on there. And then the other one was to a friend of mine named Derek out of Philadelphia. His name is Ja D. And we do a lot of reggae, more dancehall type stuff. And that's the most recent thing that we've done with HR. And I guess the vocals probably done about like 3 or 4 months ago. And so we've just been finding ways to work with him when he's around the right songs. He's a pleasure to work with in the studio, man. We just, he's got so many different levels of where he's coming from as a peaceful being versus like this anarchistic type of, you know what I mean, rebel that he was early back in the day. You know what I mean? He's got a totally different approach now that I'm learning from him still.
Now, you know, he was in and out of the Bad Brains.
Yes, a lot.
But during one of those out periods, did you fucking try out for the band to be the singer, man?
Yeah, I did. I definitely,
tell me about that, man. What was, what, in front of Dr. Gary?
Yeah, I had to go to Doc's
house. Daryl and shit?
I had to go to Doc's house with, it was for the Quickness record, and they just put me in a room with the kids, with his kids running around and a 4-track and a microphone. He was like, all right, start writing. And I had no, I was in Woodstock as a young person. I wrote some pretty good, you know, lyrics and stuff that I used for future music of mine. But what I learned now from that point was, you know, Gary's wife, you know, at the time, Lisa, was all about like more of a holistic diet. And she saw me struggling with like congestion. She was like, you know, I think you have some allergies you have to deal with. And I was like, what? He's like, what is that? It's like, well, Gary used to be allergic to dairy a bunch, and then I found out that he was, and then we pulled him away from it, and then all that excess, you know, congestion you're dealing with went away. So, like, she saw me trying to be a lead singer, dealing with congestion and tracking vocals and then going outside and clearing my chest and coming back in, and she turned me around. So me having that audition was more of a diet rescue than a music rescue, because she was right. I mean, she helped me like really turn around a lot of things about why I wanted to be into a different way of eating and a different way of existing.
You know, absolutely. That, you never know about that kind of stuff, right?
At all, because it's so easy. I mean, food was a lot better back when we were kids, so it wasn't as much as of a risk. You know, it's like if you eat something like instant fast food now, it's like, not that it's completely horrible, it's just that you're not really getting anything from the food. So you're just kind of feeding the notion, more or less the cause. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, and then the other side of it was, like, you go there for one reason, but then some other reason comes in.
You don't know about life, what's going to
present to you.
Yeah. No, it's heavy, because it's like, just to say that, I remember going home to my mom and just talking to her about it, my dad, and they were just, they were so away from it that they didn't know. And I just started doing more research, and Philadelphia's just got a lot of holistic people around. And I just started getting into just basic, you know, different nutritionalists it was amazing. Just the basic parts of eating, how much a farmer lived closer to better health than the average person does walking around, stressing themselves out, living in an inner city environment. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Absolutely. I want to play Angel Light.
Mondo's
Escape.
Mondo's
Nothing.
Hillary!
Thank you.
Like a lot of guys are hardly any girls in Philadelphia's almost half and half, which is really cool. I think it's really cool that they're getting a good crowd.
You can still find a decent girl in Philly, you know.
Here comes one right now.
The more you look, it's the less you see, though, you know.
Now that you have an album out, how are sales going anyway?
It's been pretty good. I saw a lot. So everyone's selling them in advance. Everybody's selling them. And they're selling them across the country.
Watford Pedro Show. Yeah, start that chunk of music off with Angel Light, HR. And, yeah, I remember Human Rights, he called it for a little while, and I played a gig with him. Maybe one of the first ones. He had two guitar guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he had his brother on the drums. It was at the 930 Club on F Street, and we're downstairs. I think right as spring opened up, so they're playing upstairs. They had to borrow my bass because it broke theirs.
Okay.
Or maybe I borrowed theirs. Well, whatever. It's just me and HR downstairs, right? In the, you know, the way that dressing room was at
night. Yeah.
The shitter tubes, the pipes for the toilets were right over your head. So
yeah.
I always dreamed of them being Pyrex because they also sold pizza. So you could have like kind of lotto game predicting what kind of toppings people But anyway, HR asked me, I wonder what kind of man Michael Jackson is.
Well,
and I didn't know how to answer him. You know, I thought I said he's a pretty good singer and dancer. You know, and then later I thought of it, maybe because Double Nickels on the Dime just came out. So maybe he was thinking of that song that I wrote, right? I've sent his management a letter. I thought Mike Jackson sang this song. No, I'd never have to explain the Minuteman. I never got an answer back. And then we heard Horseman and the Torpedoes from Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore, a Network Glass out of Baltimore, 2B. Crazy music. And then Ja Love, HR. So you still keep in contact with him, right?
Yeah, we still talk from time to time and work in and out of the studio. And he was living in Philly for the past, like, 4 years, and now he's moved down to Maryland, closer to the beach, you know, with his wife, Lori. And yeah, it's an honor to, like, you know, kind of work with him and still see him just grow. You know what I mean? He's still got a lot of, like, kind of love for music, which is good.
Yeah. And man, this is a dude who could fucking do a backflip and be right on the top.
Yeah.
He was the best frontman ever.
Ever, yes. Yeah, that's I don't know if that's ever going to be topped. I mean, it could be duplicated or kind of like out-tricked, but it's like the unique quality that he had. And a lot of you guys, it's that we had the right mentors. And it's, I mean, you guys are like our John Coltranes and Miles Davises. I mean, you were like the New York style of how aggressive it was back in the day for us as punk rockers. We got a chance to really learn from some. It was a theater for us when you think about it now. It was so open for people to be creative. You know what I mean?
You're most blessed. Kind, Brother Chuck. Most kind. Because, yeah, sometimes you think you're just doing it for yourself, but then you validate us. Much respect. Look, people, we're at the end of the second hour, February 8, 2021. This is Watt Pedro Show special guest, Chuck Treese. Hold tight for hour three.
You.
Yes, February 8, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Ernest Zelot with Fond of the Rain. Another Umbrella with Trippy Raga. Sounds like the fucking tape was wobbling and shit. That's why it's tripping. David Gerard with Brain Voyager to the Realm of the Oblivion. Some Days with Some Days Theme. Ohio from Supco, Laswell, Prigden Trio. And then finally, Chuck Treese and Ray Barbie doing a Dose cover, Taking Away the Fire. So first, let's talk about, I want to learn about Ernest.
Ernest Zelot is a project started with a friend of mine, John Rowe. He was normally used to be into like the hip hop realm. He had an artist stage name as Troy Walsh. He was kind of the early guy before like Asher Roth and the other guys under Eminem broke. Like Eminem broke, but there was all these guys kind of bubbling around in Pennsylvania and New York.
What about Schoolie? Is he pre-Schoolie or post-Schoolie?
He's way after Schoolie. Okay. He's way after Schoolie. Schoolie,
you know, I got to do a gig. I got to do a gig with Schoolie at Revival. Schoolie, downtown.
Schoolie's he's a mentor of mine, good friend. He's like the king of like that whole hip hop thing to me. His voice, because he did it right the first time.
There's an album called Saturday Night. It's so fucking good. And then there's a 12-inch called Parkside. That's so maybe it's his neighborhood.
Epic.
What happened with Code Money? Is he still around?
Huh?
Code Money.
I think pretty much everybody's still around. Maybe only a couple guys have passed, but pretty much everybody around. Jazzy Jeff is still around, like, but he's in Delaware. But all these guys are still.
When I did the gig with Schoolie, he had Code Money on the box, and then he had Homeboy James and Homeboy Mike just holding their balls. And he came up to me. Took his sunglasses off. He goes, and shook my hand. He goes, I'm Jesse. And he looked me square in the eye. And he says, man, happened to do this gig. And I was like, whoa. I think it was 1988. And Kim and Thurston came down from New York City.
Right.
And he played like 40 minutes. They said he usually only did like 15, 20 minutes. So
yeah.
I love those sounds. He was just So let's get back to Ernest, though.
Right. So, yeah, so Ernest Zelot basically is a project that I started with my friend John. And he basically, when I would post up a drum groove on Instagram, he would take and, like, you know, download the groove or, you know, play it and, you know, record it in from his phone and then start writing, creating drum loops out of my drum clips that I would post. And then he would write these songs. So he got up to about, like, 20 different songs. And then we decided to finally go into the studio called The Pharmacy, which is kind of like a throwback punk rock place that's like a coffee house / you know, web design place and web show place that we just went in to record about another 6 or 8 songs. And that's one of the songs from this latest recording. It's still in the can, you know, working on a mix, but it's just a fun project.
But you know what's interesting? You started it collabing through the internet, right?
Yeah, totally.
So you were kind of like trading. Because I've done a lot during this situation.
Yes, it's wild.
Okay, but then you took it to the pharmacy and...
We put it all together. Yeah, just put the final glue on it, you know, like you know, we sat on the project for about a year and a half, just listened to all the demos, and then we went and then picked the best songs and then just nailed them.
See, the internet ain't all bad, people. You could spread some bullshit and racist shit, but you can also get together with your buddies and make some bitchin' music.
Yes, you can. You can be highly creative.
Now, enlighten me to why you and Ray did this Dose cover. What was that all about?
Well, like, as to be brutally, you know, honest with it, it was just that I think it was right at a time where COVID was just starting to kind of, like, wear me thin a bit, as far as like the first scare of it was like, okay, I'm not playing music with my friends and doing things because people are scared, and I gotta find people that are open to doing things. So the first time me reaching out on the phone instead of being able to reach out for an immediate live thing was like, hey Ray, are you doing anything? And he was like, oh, by the way, I'm doing this, you know, this cover song, and it's, you know, it's wild, and, you know, it's someone he was dealing with is their little project, and I just want to take it and do something different, but I'm not playing guitar in it. I just want to play keys. And so I was like, well, if you trust me playing drums, you know, let me just take it to a friend of mine's studio, this guy David Ivory. He's a good engineer who worked on the Roots and we had a he had a studio over at Sigma, so he's part of that whole kind of Sound of Philadelphia later on crew. But Dave recorded the drums, and it was a super fun situation, and I felt honored because I wanted to be able to rep my kind of appreciation for what you've done for music and anybody that you've worked with. So that's, I liked collabing with Ray, but I also like that we're kind of like speaking another language back into the history of music. You know what I mean? It's like, and,
you reinterpreted it too, man. We wrote it for two basses.
I know. I think that's all Ray's thing, because Ray, that's the thing I like about Ray, and it's not that, I don't know, like, what it is. I haven't seen anybody grow as fast as him, as far as when I first saw him play with Lance and Goleta at the POW Factory, to me and him and you, like, letting off and just watching Ray just soak up music so quick. So when he got to thinking about you, because I've heard him talk about you a bunch of different times as far as what he likes with the guitar-driven side of what you do, and then more of the outside, the artist-based side of what you do. And it was, like, it was amazing that he took away his guitar playing to represent the song that we did. That's when I knew. I was like, Ray's always thinking about concepts and thinking about music the right way.
Yeah, yeah. When he came over my pad to do the show with this new record, he played synthesizer.
I know, it's crazy, man.
Look, you got a project here. It's called Doc, Derek, and Chuck, right? And there's a tune called Afrodub. I want to play that right now. Hey people, last music for this edition. That's Doc, Derek, and Chuck with Afro Dub. After that, The Hatch out of Hokkaido, Japan with Constantine, the interlude. Moist Boys with Protected Serve. You helped these cats out, right?
Yeah. I played drums on a couple of songs in that record. It was right when Ween was kind of taking a break. And Mickey had found out through Rolling Stone that, like, his band was no more. So I had just started going to New Hope, PA. Yeah, it was funny. I was at John and Peter's. And Mickey just came up to me. He's like, oh, well, Ween's no more. He's like, you want to, you know, cut a record? And I was like, yeah, why not? You know, so he purchased some studio gear from a friend and, you know, rented a house out. And myself, him, and Guy, you know, the singer of Moist Boys, we just...
Sure.
We get together at 2 a.m, and you know he would only give me 2 takes per song. He would never go past 2 takes.
Well, this
all
tune,
bass drums.
Well, this tune is called Protect. This tune is called Protect and Served. Were you on that one?
I think so. Yeah.
So you only got two shots.
Yeah, he was like, because he literally got a bass tone in the room and plugged it in the SVT, cranked, you know, playing a P, and he's like, the drums are right here. He looked at me, he's like, play the fucking song. Mickey's crazy.
Then we had Emmett Kelly with guitar solo number two, and finally, Bing Crosby with the instrumental version of Our Town. Where can people find you on the internet, Chuck?
The best place to find me is Instagram with my name, Chuck Treece, which is T-R-E-E-C-E. Okay. And then from there, all the other links. You know, it's basically I have a TikTok page, but I think my Instagram, I just want to send people there first because that's where I'm at the most.
Sure. And the current thing is this Bing Crosby. Where did that name come from?
Bing Crosby is a situation where my son and I have been jamming Kieran Treece. And my other son, Isaac, he's a DJ now, but we're all drummers in the house, so we've always been jamming since we've been, you know, they've been little kids. But my youngest son, Kieran, he started School of Rock at age four, so we've been jamming since he's been age four with different concepts and everything as a drummer. And so I finally got a chance to homeschool him for his senior year, and we started the project, and I just started kind of lightly experimenting with this, like, Trees and, you know, the whole cannabis thing.
Sure.
And I started realizing as an asthma patient, I had to be cleaner with using, I call it a binger, because I'm able to keep, you know, the carcinogens out of my lungs and different things that asthma patients need to be concerned about, you know what I mean, on top of what's going on right now. But I've always had problems with just kind of like my upper respiratory. So the whole Bing Crosby thing is like I'm living the lifestyle of learning how to cure myself without an inhaler, which I've had to deal with. And I've been hospitalized a couple of times with bad asthma attacks and things that have kind of like held my career back and held my skating back. And it was all health related. You know what I mean? So I've had
George Hurley had some asthma problems and have to use the inhaler. I kind of know a little bit.
Yeah.
Cause it's the way you feed the energy. You need the air.
Yeah. You need the air. And it's like, there's a holistic way to go about it. And there's another way to go about it. And the holistic way is actually better because you can use natural products to keep your chest open.
Sure.
The other way about it
is chemicals.
You have to know that you have to have a doctor and prescriptions. And now it's the upper respiratory of any kind is almost considered COVID. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to bring that scare into the conversation.
No. It's been a huge fucking honor to have you on the show. I can't tell you. When this Bing Crosby album comes out, you and your son come on the show and we can talk about it.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Okay, those bitches. You are an inspiration in the idea of good health. I mean, we get less younger, right? That's part of the fight.
Yeah, because we want to keep the music.
We want the music, right?
Yeah.
Brother Chuck, thank you so much. People, it's been the February 8th, 2021 Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry. Yeah.